This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast presented by Hooters. Hooters, the original wing joint since 1983. Make your fantasy draft party a reality at Hooters. Book your fantasy party online at football.hooters.com. Get a free CBS Sports draft kit along with $200 in Hooters coupons for the entire season. I was distributing some of those Hooters coupons to our group at the Hooters Tampa draft last Monday. And of course, as we post this podcast on Labor Day Monday, I will be distributing some of those coupons later tonight as we do our second of two drafts, this one at the Pinellas County, St. Petersburg location, St. Petersburg in Pinellas County, of course, on 4th Street North. And looking forward to seeing all those of you who have reserved your spots for tonight, as in Labor Day night's fantasy drafts at Hooters in St. Petersburg. Yes, must be present to participate. Daily lunch specials at Hooters starting at just $6. Hot wings, cold beer, summer seafood, Hooters style. 12 Tampa Bay area locations, and for those of you around the country and around the world, you know where your go-to Hooters location is. I thank Hooters for their presenting sponsorship all season long of the Fantasy Football Podcast. All right, let's get right into it. As I record this podcast on Sunday evening, obviously a number of roster situations are liquid because of so many trades that have been taking place around roster cutdowns. Most of those trades don't really impact fantasy football. They have been on the defensive side of the football. But the Vance McDonald deal, I wouldn't say draft Vance McDonald as a tight end. However, I would say Vance McDonald could very well bubble up quickly as a waiver wire tight end pickup for you to consider in the month of September. He also could be a nice daily play as you go into these early weeks. But let me get into some news that is a bit obscure, but I think may have some fantasy impact in no particular order. Let's start with, for those of you that aren't wasting a lot of time on scouting out kickers or defenses, you're just picking them in the back two rounds of your draft, knowing that you can sort of mix and match kickers and defenses as you go along in the season. It's something that I generally do, probably more with defenses than I do with kickers. I do like to get a kicker that I hope will work out for me the entire season, but if I have to mix and match, that's fine. Graham Gano, very familiar name for many of you who have played fantasy football over the years. Just know he's in a very tenuous situation in Carolina. He's currently in a two-kicker situation in Carolina as we speak. Sort of the feeling is Carolina would like to trade Gano, but they haven't found any takers. So I wouldn't advise, if you're drafting one kicker, that Graham Gano be that kicker. Because while it looks right now that he will kick in week one, he could as easily be gone by week one from Carolina or kicking for somebody else. Let's talk about Jeremy Langford. Now, being down on Jeremy Langford as I was last year allowed me to simply claim Jordan Howard on waivers in a 14-team league when I was desperate to just stash a running back that might work out down the road. I analyzed Jeremy Langford as a player who wouldn't hold the number one running back job. There was an injury, but also he just wasn't doing a very good job. Well, the Bears have cut him. I'm not very big on Jordan Howard, so you might want to keep an eye on that Bear running back depth chart and potentially treat Jordan Howard and his status the way I treated Jeremy Langford's status last year. I think Howard's a better player. Howard did more last year than Langford ever did in his career. But I just think Howard is overvalued. The Bears' offense could be very messy, and I'm not sure Howard is going to hold up. Speaking of running backs claimed, Mac Jones was claimed. There was a gentleman that I play in his charity golf tournament every year, and his he and his wife are big supporters of my golf tournaments. And he was asking me if the Bucs should pick up Mac Jones, and I said no. For many reasons. I said, if you can't win the running back job in Washington, then you're not worth having. Well, Indianapolis has claimed Mac Jones. All I'm going to say about this, because right now it's kind of hands-off almost every Colt except T.Y. Hilton, and most people are only drafting Andrew Luck as a backup quarterback, hoping that Luck turns out to be healthy after this extended time off. He was pulled off PUP, but now Jacoby Brissett is even in the mix, which either suggests Scott Tolzien can't play. It certainly suggests Stephen Morris can't play because he was cut, but it may also lend itself to the fact that they don't know even if they get Andrew Luck in there in week two, which seems like the plan right now. Best case scenario, if Luck can handle it, or if he's not going to be able to play week two. So anyway, Mac Jones being claimed by the Colts. Here's all it means. For those of you throwing a dart at Marlon Mack, don't. It's not the right thing to do. I know it's a dart throw. You're doing it near the end of your drafts. Don't. Mack was already behind two other Colts on the running back charts. Now he's behind another one. So I have seen Marlon Mack selected in drafts, and I don't understand it. It makes even less sense now that the Colts claim Mac Jones. All right, let's talk about Brock Osweiler's situation. I actually think Brock Osweiler can play in this league. I'm not saying that he was worth the contract that the Texans signed him to, but Mike Glennon may prove not to be worth the contract that the Bears signed him to, much as about half of the quarterbacks drafted in the first round aren't worth drafting in the first round. Teams often overpay, either in a draft pick or with free agent money, for quarterbacks. And you see with the Carr deals, the Stafford deals, we're going to have the Matt Ryan deal coming up. Teams overpay to keep quarterbacks that they feel are worthwhile just because they don't want to be out there searching for one. I'll say this about Matt Stafford being the highest paid player in the NFL. How many playoff wins? There's the disconnect. All right, back to Brock Osweiler. He is back in Denver. You know, I question John Elway's ability to scout quarterbacks because if it wasn't for Peyton Manning choosing the Denver Broncos over other suitors, what really would John Elway have accomplished in his run with the Denver Broncos? You have Trevor Siemian now firmly entrenched as the number one. I don't think that says a lot. Paxton Lynch looks like a clear bust number one pick. Now out with a shoulder injury. The Broncos bring back Brock Osweiler. And while I think Osweiler can play in this league, I'm not suggesting that Osweiler could have led the Broncos to a Super Bowl title. But if Elway's bringing Osweiler back, it just sort of adds to the mix that, you know, John Elway may have been a great quarterback, but he doesn't know a great quarterback. And again, I think Peyton Manning chose him rather than he chose Peyton. So Osweiler is back in Denver. It doesn't really mean anything from a fantasy standpoint at this point. I don't think anyone is drafting Trevor Siemian. I'm not suggesting you're going out to get Brock Osweiler. From a daily play standpoint, I'm not even going to be looking at the prices on any Denver quarterback until further notice. Let's see. The New England situation as it relates to the injury to Julian Edelman. This isn't as clear-cut as with Spencer Ware being injured with the Chiefs, and immediately Hunt rockets up draft boards. And I'm going to talk about just really my observations on in the last week or two, players that look like they've moved up and players that seem to have moved down. That's coming up in a moment. It appears as though many fantasy players are drafting up Danny Amendola because of the Edelman injury. Not me. I don't recommend it. We said on the podcast last time that the Edelman injury may have more impact on running backs catching balls than any wide receivers catching balls. And those close to the Patriots actually believe Chris Hogan, not Danny Amendola, will benefit from more reps, not necessarily targets, but at least reps at the wide receiver position than Danny Amendola. Let's see. All right, San Diego Chargers. Last thing before we talk about some up and down. San Diego Chargers, if you don't know, speaking of kickers, if you have liked Josh Lambeau in recent years, he is no longer kicking for the San Diego Chargers. Young-ho Koo from, I believe, Georgia Southern is the Charger kicker to start the season. Lambeau is out. Also, Mike Williams update. I don't anticipate any of you are rostering Mike Williams, but as far as keeping an eye on a roster stash down the road, Mike Williams, maybe week four, maybe week five. We're anticipating, though, kind of a slow start for Mike Williams, maybe similar to the Corey Davis start in Tennessee, just because they've been really unable to get on the practice field and do much of anything. And that hurts rookies building chemistry with established quarterbacks like Phillip Rivers and Marcus Mariota. All right, let's talk about some guys moving up, some guys moving down. Let's get the negatives out of the way first. It appears as though LeSean McCoy is moving down. Reason given for this is just because the Bills, not as much as the Jets, but the Bills kind of look like they're tanking the season. They traded Reggie Ragland for a second rounder. They were and they weren't interested in trading Shady McCoy. They still may be very interested in trading Shady McCoy. I think we'll have some clarity on this pretty damn fast in Buffalo. Personally, I would still like to own Shady McCoy, whether he's either going to be the bell cow again for the Buffalo Bills and seems willing to take on the role, or if they do trade him, he immediately improves his situation on a team that is getting him to win now. So while McCoy is moving down on some draft boards, and this is a guy who was looked at just 2 weeks ago. Well, basically, McCoy moved up when Ezekiel Elliott moved down with the six-game suspension or the imminent six-game suspension. And now McCoy is sliding down. We'll talk about Ezekiel Elliott in a moment. Jay Ajayi is also dropping a few spots in terms of the running backs. The concern on this, you know, Warren Sharp has talked about Jay Ajayi being a running back that gets his yardage in explosive plays only. And the fact that he had all those 200-yard games but what about what he did in the other ones? So Ajayi seems to be slipping down a few spots in running backs. Todd Gurley falling even more. The third preseason game, which was so bad, was the Battle for LA preseason edition. The Chargers beat the Rams. Goff took a step back, and Gurley looked kind of the same as he did most of 2016. DeAndre Hopkins continues to slip down draft boards at the wide receiver position. There's clearly a move to Tom Savage, you know, will be the starting quarterback in Houston. Doesn't appear as though Deshaun Watson is ready to play because there wasn't much of a battle there once we got past the first couple weeks of camp. T.Y. Hilton is obviously sliding down a few boards because of the uncertainty about when Andrew Luck plays and how healthy Andrew Luck is going to be. Sammy Watkins get sort of clumped in with Todd Gurley now. that he has been moved to the LA Rams. The Rams overall are just a bad fantasy situation there. Phillip Rivers appears to be slipping a little bit. I've been a Phillip Rivers owner in the past and wouldn't hesitate to own him again. The reason given for Rivers sliding down a bit on QB boards is because of the schedule of the Chargers and how tough it is for the first 2.5 months. I get that, but at the same time, the Chargers defense didn't show much early in preseason. I still think Phillip Rivers being behind in games is a good thing for Phillip Rivers, and interceptions are only -1 in a standard scoring league. So I would still have no hesitation if you're going to wait and draft a quarterback once you feel you're set with your starting running backs, your wide receivers, your tight end, or your flex plays, and then you're just going in into that middle of the pack of fantasy quarterbacks. I still think Phillip Rivers is firmly in there and is as underdrafted as Ben Roethlisberger. Another guy slipping down, two running backs, all right, that are clear number one running backs until further notice. Paul Perkins and LeGarrette Blount in an updated non-PPR 150 on RotoWorld by the great Evan Silva. Perkins at RB 39, Blount at RB 45. All right, there are 32 teams in the National Football League. So Paul Perkins, despite being a clear number one back, is behind, he's 39. So that's seven, there are seven other, and with Blount at 45, there are other number two backs that are higher than Perkins or Blount. The Blount situation is just really volatile at this point. I wouldn't touch it, but I understand if you draft Blount as an RB4, why not? If you've got your first two and then your backup or your flex, if you can play a running back at the flex position, and then Blount's just sitting there in the later rounds, I get that you would take a flyer on the guy because of the touchdown potential that he brings, even if it's not in Philadelphia. Let's say this blows up the first 2 weeks and they cut him. There's a very good chance he ends up back in New England again. Very good chance. So guys moving up, Ezekiel Elliott, I stress to you, if you've been listening to the podcast, that I didn't know what was going to happen, but I did know that missing games 1 through 6 wasn't going to happen. And it appears that will be the case. So Elliott is moving back up on draft boards. For some reason, in the league I commission with some good friends, we don't play for money. We don't play PPR. I spend money on trophies and penalty license plates. If you finish last in the league, you have to put the Kramer ass man plate on the front of your car. I'm buying trophies for the division champs this year out of my budget. I don't charge anybody. I drafted Ezekiel Elliott number 26 overall. I already had two running backs, and Ezekiel Elliott is sitting there, and I'm picking 26. Of course I took him. That's ridiculous. Move him back up. Dalvin Cook moving up. He is sort of, in some leagues, he's even going higher than Hunt for Kansas City. I wouldn't do that. But Cook is on the move up as the clear number one back in Minnesota and just has the look of someone who will get good volume. The difference between him and Hunt is Hunt doesn't have – there aren't as many mouths to feed in Kansas City. I think it's pretty safe to say there are three guys that are going to be scoring touchdowns in Kansas City. Hunt, Hill, Kelsey. That's kind of it. Anything else is the scraps. Minnesota, there's Cook, there's Diggs, there's Thielen, there's Rudolph. All right, so there's four right there. And Minnesota did spend money in the offseason, not that he showed a lot in the preseason, on Latavius Murray, who has shown an ability to find the end zone, is just 2 years removed from a true workhorse season. So But I understand Dalvin Cook moving up on boards. Stephon Diggs is also moving up on boards. Thielen seems to be more of the slot receiver now. With Diggs on the outside, this is supposed to increase the big play potential for Stephon Diggs. I'm not going to draft him in a season-long league. I'm just going to be eyeballing this situation with Diggs and Thielen from a daily standpoint and from a waiver standpoint. Kelvin Benjamin. We don't really know what to make of the Carolina situation. Cam Newton last year might have even gone in some first rounds off the 15-1 season. He was drafted as a backup quarterback in our 10-team league, and I would imagine he's being drafted as a backup quarterback in many of your leagues now. Coming off the shoulder surgery, change in offensive philosophy, how much is Newton going to run? How much will he actually throw to a running back like Christian McCaffrey? Because Newton